Before the sermon, we're going to watch a short video clip, another set of interviews. I have one more announcement, and that is toward the college students. And I've been meaning to visit college students, and I think I can start with the seniors, and just I'll meet with seniors one-on-one, and maybe we can just have lunch, and just to get to know each person, and just to hear your personal prayer requests. So, you know, I'll get a list of the seniors from James, and maybe I can either give you a call or email you. And you know, in the next couple of weeks, you'll get an email or a call from me, and we can just set up a time to get together for lunch and talk, and so that I can pray for you. Last Sunday, we showed you a video clip, and the question was, how did your own parents influence your spiritual growth? And this time, the next set of interviews, the question was this. How have other adults in the church influenced your spiritual growth? So this is the topic for today, you know, the influence of the church or the spiritual family in the formation of a child or youth. For the spiritual formation of a child, the church can function like an extended family. So let's take a look at these interviews.
When I first came to this church, they really welcomed me, and I feel so loved. And I feel a part of this family at Cornerstone Church. So that's why I was able to decide to stay in this church. As many years have gone by, I've seen them with such a heart of service towards especially the younger people. And they really impacted me to know, to learn how I should serve and how I should set an example towards the younger generation, even for me. And through their love, again, I was able to decide to stay in this church. And because I stayed in this church, I really believe that God really taught me His word, and really that's how I came to know Christ and accepting Christ into my life as my Savior.
Through the parents, I can see like their love towards their children, and like it's just so like it's such a blessing to see their love for their children. And not only that, but they love the college students too, and I could feel it. I could feel God's love through them. The food that they prepare, like, and how they serve. It really helped me to understand God's love. I really didn't know what love was, but now that I'm in Cornerstone, like, the willingness to serve, and like, I understood God's love through you guys. And I'm really blessed by that. One example is Jung's family, who like donated a TV to us. Like, I was like, wow, who would do that? And like, I know it's through God's love that you guys do that, and we're really blessed. And just all the rides you guys provide back and forth from Santa Cruz, like, wow, that's like so much time off of your time, but you guys still do it. And like, you email us like at 5 a.m. to ask how many people are going, and like, your love towards us is so amazing, and you've really influenced my fate as a Christian too, to learn to love more and love as a community.
There were adults in my earlier life who took me to church, but the one that who held my hand to church, I think, was my mom. I didn't know what she did at church most of the time, but I know she took me to church. We came back from church on Sundays, and then she would go to Heber Gebe or early morning worship. I just learned a lot from watching her go to church. Not fully understanding why she would go, but just going, she brought me along. She never told me, John, you have to go to church. But she went, and then it got me thinking, wow, what is this church where she spends so much time outside of her work? I still wonder about that. But I think that has allowed me to know that some part of her life, she finds some kind of again, I don't know what that is, but she finds something at church. And I'm finding that something right now, which is very important. More recently, when I came to America, there's three elders from the Old Testament church, Elder Lee, Elder Kong, and Elder Choi. When I first met them, it's not through their, you know, outstanding or outgoing or, you know, humorous personalities. It was more about their qualities being reflected from the children. It's not because they're all A students or they're all outspoken or they're so successful in what they did, but their personalities reflected that they were being loved. In their own, all children's unique way, you know, they were able to express themselves, they were kind to others, they played well, regardless of, you know, how they played. And that only comes from a good home that a parent, loving parents could provide. And for me, that taught me a lot. So I look at my kids and I'm wondering, can I have kids, raise kids, not because they're going to be leaders or, you know, hey guys, I'm the best. Not about that, but can they, among their peers, consider others as well and have this well-rounded relationship? And that has affected me a lot as more recently as a parent of three. I look at them even today, and, you know, the children that I saw when they were like very, very young in elementary school, now they're adults. And the quality, their personalities are very consistent. So I know what I saw 10, 15 years ago wasn't a lie. It was true values that was centered around God.
When I see the adults at our church, I see the fruits of the Spirit. I can see them enjoying their service, and I can see them having peace when they pray. By watching them, I guess I was inspired to actually live my life as a Christian who is filled with the fruits of the Spirit, because the fruits of the Spirit reflect God's presence.
So as you can see, the mature adults in church can have a big influence on our younger generation. So with that, let's read today's passage. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told them, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. If you compare the life of a teenager from the 1950s up to 2013 today, and if you see the life of the teenagers, there's a clear trend that people can see, and that is the growing isolation of teenagers and youth, the teenagers. Over the years, the teenagers spend more and more time alone, increasingly isolated from adults. A professor from Cornell University, Uri Bronfenbrenner, he cites 9 changes that have increasingly separated children from parents. Children from adults. And the first change is this: father's vocation, which removes fathers from families for a long time. Number 2, an increase in the number of working mothers. Number 3, a critical escalation in the divorce rate. Number 4, a rapid increase in single parent families. And 5, a steady decline in extended families. Not many, you know, families live with their grandparents anymore. Number 6, the evolution of the physical home. you know, he cites emergence of game rooms or family rooms, kids' playrooms, and master bedrooms that tend to separate family members. Number 7 is the replacement of adults by peer group. Number 8, the isolation of children from adult work. And number 9, insulation of schools from the rest of the world. Teenagers are increasingly on their own when it comes to choosing their social activities. And they spend a lot of hours on the internet, either chatting or, you know, surfing the web. And hanging out or partying in an adult-free house has become the norm. And the most dangerous or damaging isolation that teens experience in the U.S. is in their own families. According to a Harvard psychologist, Amand Nicoli, American parents spend less time with their children than parents in any other country in the world. About 70 years ago, families worked together and they ate together by necessity. So the teenagers and parents spent a lot of time together. And the teenagers, they observed what the adults did. They listened to their conversations. They saw how they behaved. And that's how they learned these adult values. So these experiences laid a natural bridge or natural track from adolescence into an adulthood. But these days, many scholars cite that this natural bridge has been severely weakened. With so little time spent with adults, children do not have enough conversation and enough collaboration to learn adult values. 1 in 4 youth say that they have never had a meaningful conversation with their fathers. 76% of 1,200 teens surveyed by USA Today say they want their parents to spend more time with them. Even at church, children and youth are separated. Church ministry is seen as mainly as ministry to the adults. And, you know, ministry of children and youth is sort of seen as secondary ministry. You know, even Bible studies, or there is separate children's worship, separate children's Bible study, separate children or youth activity, and there is rarely an overlap between adults and children, even in church. So this growing isolation may be the biggest reason why so many youth stop going to church when they go to college. Apart from their Sunday school teachers, our kids and youth simply do not have any relationship with adults in the church. For our children to learn Christian values, they need mature Christian adults in their, not only in their biological family, but also in their spiritual family, the church. In today's passage, Jesus redefines what a family is. He says that whoever does the will of God is his mother, his brother, his sister. For Jesus, the church was his family. The church was his family. When we are joined together in Christ, we become a member of God's family. So although parents are the most important influence in a child's formation, the child still needs other influences. The child still needs other mature adults in his or her life. Our children need godly adults in the church who can affirm them and who can encourage them in their walk with Christ. Though having peers who affirm one's Christian faith is important, teenagers really need adults who can help provide consistent and lifelong nurture. Apart from the family, the church is the only institution left that can provide such a lifelong nurturing. I served at one church in New York, and one of the members was a serious marathon runner. This guy runs every day, and he participates in the Boston Marathon every year. And he was having a casual conversation with our senior pastor. And they were talking about the Boston Marathon. And our pastor lived in Boston. He studied in Boston, so he knows some area. So he was, you know, explaining where the course starts and where it goes, runs through, and where the marathon ends. And so the senior pastor asked him, "Oh, so what part, for you, what part was the hardest to run?" And he thought for a moment, and he says, "For me, the hardest part was crossing the bridge over the river." And the senior pastor was like, "Really? Is it because the wind blows hard against you?" And he says, "No, it's because there are no crowds to cheer me." You know, having a cheering crowd can be a powerful motivation. The author of Hebrews understood the power of having an audience. He states, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." You know, every child needs a cloud of witnesses who can cheer, support, and encourage the child. But sadly, many of our children today, they run the race without many adults cheering them. It may be just their youth pastor. It may be just their youth teacher. They're running the race without many audience. At church, when we baptize infants, the pastor asks this question to the congregation. He says, "Will you, the people of God, promise to uphold and support these parents in raising up this child in faith?" And everybody is supposed to say, "Yes, we will, with God's help." So the whole church is responsible for the raising of a child. You know, there's an old saying, it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes the whole church to raise up a godly member, to raise up a godly person. You know, I'm having trouble with this too, but I'm trying to, you know, get to know the names of all the kids in our church. And I think, you know, as members, we need to have an interest and try to learn the names, at least the names of the kids, or the names of kids in our youth group. And maybe we can make an effort to strike up a conversation, just to get to know them. We might think, "Oh, they're not my kids, you know. I'm having a hard time dealing with my own kids. I just don't have time for other kids." But you know, spiritually, they are our kids. They are our kids. They are part of God's family. If a child or youth is connected to the spiritual family, if they are connected to more than one adult who can provide support, even if the child, you know, doesn't have parents attending the church, the child would choose to stay in the church. Those nurturing adults are their connection to the spiritual family. There are many traditions in the Catholic Church that are just plainly wrong, that I don't like, that are not biblical. But there are a few good traditions left in the Catholic Church. And one of them is, for example, Lent. You know, Bible doesn't say we should celebrate Lent for 40 days. It's just a tradition in the church, in the Catholic Church. And it's a good one. And that's why we Protestants have kept it. And we still celebrate the Lent. And another good tradition in the Catholic Church is having a godfather and a godmother. You know, they're not their biological parents, but they are mature Christians who will sponsor a child in his or her baptism. That person takes an interest in the child and interest in the development of faith in the child. And, you know, the godfather is a lifelong supporter, encourager to the child. And, you know, we don't really have it in the Protestant church. But I think it's a good tradition. Because our children and youth, they need more than one adult in the church to, you know, have a relationship with. They need more than one adult to see and emulate. So what our kids need, you know, is not really a strong and vibrant children's ministry or a very strong youth ministry. What they really need is a few godly and mature Christian adults in their lives who can talk to them, support them, and encourage them, who can be mentors in their lives. And there are very few churches that take this seriously. A few churches, they have established a mentoring system between youth and adults. So one youth is matched to another Christian adult. And they meet once in a while. And, you know, they just, the mentor would ask, so, you know, how's your life? You know, what's going on in your life? How's school? How's your family? And, you know, the adult takes an interest in the child's life and prays for the child and provides support. And if the child has any, youth has any questions about faith or life, then, you know, the mentor can, you know, talk to them about it. And I think that kind of a mentoring system works really well in a small church. And I think maybe this is something that we can do as a church, because we have about 5 or 6 youth in our youth group. I think we have, you know, plenty of mature adults to form relationships and mentor them, support them. So I'm thinking maybe each youth can be matched up to an adult, and maybe they can meet just 3 times a year, at the beginning of the school year, in the middle, and at the end of the school year, and you just talk, you know, how's it going? You know, how are you doing? You know, what are you doing to grow spiritually? Well, what are your, you know, plans to grow spiritually? Maybe you can talk about those things. And also the adult can share how himself or herself is growing in Christ. So it's not just a one-way relationship, but it's a two-way relationship. You know, we emphasize, you know, we really emphasize doing missions to the ends of the earth. And the church, you know, is willing to support missionaries. The church is willing to spend a lot of money in sending short-term mission trips to, like, faraway African countries or Asian countries. If that is our horizontal mission, there is also the vertical mission to our own kids. We have to share the good news with our own children in our house, in our church. So what are we as a church doing to evangelize our own kids? In our zeal for world missions, many churches are forgetting our own kids. Now, can we see the slide? I want to show you just one. You know, this is a... when you were a kid, I remember playing with this, and I kind of liked it. You know, you hit it and blow it as far, and because of the rubber, elastic rubber, it goes out and comes back, right? You know, in a way, I think our kids are like those paddle balls, you know, that they may want to get away from the church. They may want to get away from their parents and just go far away from the church and parents as possible. You know, if you're living in the West Coast, they go to college in the East Coast, you know, just to be far away from their parents in the church. But if there are mature adults who have ongoing relationship with that person, with that youth, who loves the kid and who you know, nurtures and supports the kid, even if they go, you know, all the way far and they're like living their lives like a prodigal son, they'll come back as long as there is that connection. The question is, do our kids have such connection? Do they have such relationships with mature adults in our church? That's what they really need. So let us not neglect the importance of spiritual family and the importance of forming relationship with our youth and our children. so that they would think this is my church. It's not just my parents' church, but this is my church. So let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together now. Ask the